last week in Huntersville, a Hell's Angel biker was cruising through. He was going down I-77, and he saw this woman whose car was disabled over here on the side of the road. Of course, everybody was just zooming past. So he pulled over, and he offered to help. Woman was a little reluctant, but she couldn't get her car started. She didn't know what was wrong, and she said, "Yes, if you can help me." So he opened the hood, and he figured out what the problem was. He got some tools off his bike, and after about 30 minutes of hard work, he finally got the car going again, and a very grateful woman drove off. Well, the woman was not the only one who was grateful. God was very grateful. And so right at that moment, the Lord spoke to the biker. "I just saw what you did. That was a wonderful thing. It's not something I expected out of you. And so maybe this is a turning point of your life. So I will just do for you anything that you want." And the biker thought, he said, "Well, I'll tell you what I'd really like, Lord. I'd like a highway built from right here up to heaven." God said, "Sorry, I just can't do that. Because it would just be destroy everyone's view. It would be an environmental disaster. And it would disrupt the entire atmosphere. The world would be in chaos, so I can't do that. Would you like something else?" So the biker thought for a minute and he said, "Well, I'll tell you what, Lord. Would you just explain to me the mind of a woman, how a woman thinks?" God thought for a minute and God said, "So, do you want two lanes or four?" I figured this is my last sermon. This is it. So, the state of our world, the state of a lot of our worlds, reflects the fact that we believe that there are situations and circumstances and struggles and challenges that God Himself cannot overcome. And when we believe that, what we do is we lose hope. Truth is, what happens there is we cut ourselves off from the power, the only power, that can overcome all things. Last week was Easter week. And we proclaimed on Easter week that Jesus Himself is alive. And because He's alive, He can drive out our demons and cure our sicknesses and teach us new languages of love to bring new life out of old lives. But when we leave that service on Easter, we realize that something is missing. Something is missing that can move us from believing that Jesus is alive to move from old lives to new. Well, Jesus Himself points out what's missing. Because in the Easter Sunday, in the Gospel of Luke, He says, "Don't go out and start telling the good news until you receive the power of the Spirit God in you." In that one sentence, Jesus defines what some of you seem to be perplexed about. And that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very simply the presence of God living in us and the power of God available to us. The problem is that as Christians, we believe that when we were baptized, the Holy Spirit came and lived in us. That's what the Bible shows us. But so often that Holy Spirit lies dormant in us. The power of the Holy Spirit is untapped in our lives. So today, we're going to begin a new series from now into Pentecost to plug in more deeply and more continually in our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Exploring all the ways that the Spirit, or many of the ways the Spirit can give us, everything we need to live more fulfilling and fully blossoming lives and relationships. Now, the reason we're doing this is, first of all, I'm looking at Easter and saying, you know, I see Easter come and go, and I don't see a whole lot of change after Easter. But the other reason is, I was running the other day, a couple weeks ago, and when I run is when I get all my ideas. My brain is clear, endorphins are pumping through me, and I'm feeling good, and all these great ideas. So God told me to do this. I promise you. I'm running, I'm saying, "Lord, what am I going to do after Easter? I think I've made these people over about as much as I can make them over." I being the operative word, of course. And so, literally, God said, "Talk about the Holy Spirit. That's what you need after Easter. So, if you don't like this, blame it on God, okay?" So today we're going to start with fundamental and foundational power of the Holy Spirit, and that is the power to give new life. where our lives or something in our lives or some person in our lives, some relationship we have is as dead as dry bones lying on a valley floor. We're going to begin at the beginning this morning where God's Word reveals that the Holy Spirit is the source of life. But first, an explanation. The Holy Spirit is used in both the Old and the New Testament as described with one Hebrew word. And that word is ruach. Can y'all say that with me? Ruach. And some people now have tried to picture the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is wind blowing across our lives. And the Holy Spirit is like a wind of fire breathing in our lives. Ruach means wind and fire and breath. And so, as we read the scriptures throughout these next several weeks, and you hear breath or wind, that's ruach, the life-changing power of the Holy Spirit at work. So this morning we begin briefly with showing that the Holy Spirit is the giver of life itself. We begin in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth without form or void and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, ruach, moved upon the face of the waters. And the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Ruach. And man became a living soul. Now, just as God's Spirit gives life, the Spirit can also give us new life. No matter how dead our lives, something in our lives, some person, some relationship may seem to us. God does as He reveals to us this today through the prophet Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel is the greatest person to talk about dead lives because he lived in the worst of times. Israel, the nation of Israel, had given up on following God and given up on being empowered by the power of God. And because of that, the Babylonians were able to invade Israel, raise Jerusalem to the ground, burn the temple, and take all the people of Israel off to captivity in Babylon, which is today's Iraq. And they even took Ezekiel himself. And the people, the scripture says, lost hope. They were lost. They were cut off from all that they had hoped for in their lives and their futures. The good news is that Ezekiel never stopped following the ways of God. He never gave up on the power of God. So God spoke to Ezekiel and gave him visions and insights to speak to the people in Babylonia and in Huntersville today, to see where they had turned in the wrong way and to show the way out of their deadness to the life and the future that God wanted for them and wants for us. Most powerful of those insights occurs when God gives Ezekiel insight into a valley filled with dry, dead bones. He shows Ezekiel and us how these dry, dead bones can live again. Here's what happened. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "Sovereign Lord, You alone know." Good answer. If you're going to see throughout the scripture, a key word is a four-letter word, and the word is then. Watch that word. Then God said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and I will attach tendons to you, and make flesh come upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. Note that word. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then God said to me, "Prophesy to the bones and tell the breath, come breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live." So I prophesied as I was commanded, as was commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones of the people of Israel, they say our bones are dried up, our hope is gone, and we are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I'll put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will lead you to your own land, the promised land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. And I have done it, says the Lord. What Ezekiel does is he opens our eyes to plug into the power of the Holy Spirit. To let the Holy Spirit breathe new life into our dead, dry bones of our lives and relationships. To receive the promised life from God. Ezekiel does this through three connectors. And I always want you to be able to remember all this, because I know, I haven't done the math, but in 7 years, I've done hundreds of sermons. I know you remember them all, right? Because almost every week you get a way to remember them, and I'm sure you've all got these packed away right there. So this morning, the way to remember this is that each of these three connectors begins with a letter that spells out the way that in modern times we give breath to life. C-P-R. Clever. I think God may have told me that too. So the first breath for new life connector is this. Confront. Confront what is dead and dry in us, in others, in our relationships. The Spirit shows Ezekiel that the lives of the people are like very dry bones. He leads Ezekiel out to see the dryness in their lives. He asks Ezekiel and us, can these bones live? Ezekiel answers wisely, only you know that, Lord. Truth is, only the Lord knows the way. God knows that our dead, dry lives can live if only we follow the thens. Then the Lord sends Ezekiel to us to prophesy. And that word prophesy does not mean predict the future. That's a fortune teller. What prophets do in the Old Testament is to speak the truth of the Word of God. They're messengers from God to tell the truth. So we are called to tell the truth, confront the dry bones around us in our own lives with the truth. But it's not our truth. Not our culturally indoctrinated truths that we believe and follow is the truth of the Word of God. God says, prophesy to these bones. God commands them, say to them, hear the word of the Lord. The Spirit can only breathe new life into our dead, dry lives and relationships, my friends. Whatever in our lives is not what God prescribes, if we confront that. So the question is, are you willing to confront in your life? Are you willing to confront in the life of someone you know, someone you love? Are you willing to confront in the life of some relationship that you're in that is broken? If there's anything in our thoughts, our words, our actions, our attitude is not the way of the Word of the Lord. These gifts, these fruits that the Spirit gives us in the Bible. Is there anything in your life that is not loving or peace-giving or patient or kind or generous? Or faithful, or gentle, or encouraging, or humble, or compassionate, or forgiving, or moral, or pure. If there's anything in your life, or the life of someone you know and love, or in some relationship that does not reflect the word of the Lord, then Ezekiel says, if you want that to change, you must confront it and name it. This is what is dry and dead in your life needs change. This is not easy. It is not comfortable. We're afraid we will be called judgmental. But the only way that we make room for the breath of the Spirit of God to move dead, dry bones to life is confronting the truth. I have the privilege of doing that here. You give me the license to do that when you call me your pastor. And I want to reflect something that happened in my life before I became your pastor. It happened because a young man in our other church, Myers Park Presbyterian, came to me. He was super rich. He was young and super successful. But he must have figured out that he was not successful in all parts of his life because he asked me to be his mentor. Not his stock picker, but his mentor. Because I was a Sunday school teacher, and I guess I was as close to a spiritual mentor as he could find. So we met every other week. We had lunch, prayed, read the scripture, had conversation together. Boy, it sounded like he was on fire for the Spirit. But then a friend of his came to me because they knew about this relationship. And they said, you need to know that he has a terrible addiction. Here's what it is. I'll spare you the details. So, as kindly as I could, I confronted him with the truth. And the fact that something was going on in his life was not what the word of the Lord wanted for his life. Fact, he was using his body in ways that certainly did not reflect his body as the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, at first, he protested, as dry bones always will, with these great words. I love these words. It's fine, I can handle this. It's not going to affect the rest of my life. I can handle this. And by the way, all these other guys I know, they're doing it too. All these rich guys, so it must be right. Right? But because I was doing the work of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, as Jesus confirmed in the Gospel of Matthew, what happened, the Spirit gave me the words to say and how to say it. And we continued to talk. I prayed with him. I prayed for him, for the Holy Spirit to change his life. I prayed that to him. The Spirit helped to open his eyes to the fact, this terrible addiction that all the other guys were doing was beginning to destroy his marriage, his relationship with his children, his relationship with his colleagues, his health, and his future. The Holy Spirit began to work in his life. He got the counseling he needed from a Christian counselor. The Holy Spirit breathed new life into his bones. His dry, dead bones. Restored and healed his marriage, his relationship with his children, his health, everything about his life. Today, my friend, still rich, but different. Now leading every week a group of men who suffer from this same terrible addiction. But his new life began not with a sermon, but a friend who was willing to confront him with the truth. Because that's the only way the Holy Spirit begins to work. God urges us to prophesy, to speak the truth of God's word to the dry bones of our own lives, the dry bones of someone we love, the dry bones of our relationships. The Spirit will begin to take it from there, as it did for those bones in the valley. Begin to bring their life back together to where the Lord wants it to be. Provided that we take hold of the second breath for new life connector, which is to pray. For the Spirit to change what needs to be changed in our minds, and our words, our actions, and our hearts. This is the power-giving insight that follows the confrontation of these words from Ezekiel to us. Then the Lord said, prophesy to the breath, tell the breath, come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. Ezekiel says, I did as the Lord commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet. See, this is what Jesus tells us about prayer. Do you remember this? Jesus says, pray what you desire in my name. In other words, your desire is shaped by me. And he doesn't say the Lord will give you what you ask for. He says the Lord will give you what is good because he will send you the Holy Spirit. Prayer is about bringing the power of the Holy Spirit to change us. And those four winds? Well, the scholars disagree about all this. But I think the best answer to that is those four winds are the four pathways to change the way we think, to change the way that we speak to each other, to change the way we act with each other, the way we treat each other, and the desires of our hearts. What God realizes so often, we try to breathe new life into our own lives. Have you ever heard someone who is clearly suffering from dead, dry bones? You ever heard him say this? I don't need or want any help. Anybody ever heard that? If you've ever heard that, raise your hand. If you never heard that, I got some people I'll refer to you so you will be complete in your life. I don't need any help. I don't want any help. You see, there's a whole burgeoning industry around this. But if you hear those words, that is an asphyxiator to new life-giving breath. There's this whole burgeoning industry. It's called the self-help industry. And it's a growing industry. You know why? Because people want to control the change in their lives. They don't want to turn this over to some Holy Spirit, because you remember what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit? It says it blows where it wills. I'd rather help myself, Lord. Because who knows where the Holy Spirit may take me? But what Ezekiel says to us is that if you want new life to come from dry bones, it's only when we turn over our lives by praying to the Holy Spirit to come, Lord, change the way I think. Change what I'm saying to that person. Change the way I'm treating the people in my life. Change my heart, Lord. Change my desires. Well, it's a risk. Because I'll tell you one thing that happens. We start praying the Holy Spirit to come and make a change. That Holy Spirit is liable to change us in some way that is not comfortable for us. We might find out the problem in that relationship is us. And I want to share with you another story. I have three stories for you today. Three letters, three stories. Is that okay with you? I figure you won't remember anything I say, but you might remember CPR in a story, right? Okay, so here's another story. All these stories, by the way, are either things I've experienced myself or someone I trust have told me. This one I experienced myself. So this is a discovery made by Jim Morgan. Some of you may know Jim. He was the CEO of Wachovia Securities, and then he became the CEO of Krispy Kreme and turned that whole company around when it was in the toilet. He's a very talented person and a very faithful person. Teaches Sunday school every week. So Jim had a son. Jim and his wife had a son, Jamie, who was smart, he was sensible, and he was talented. But somewhere along the way, some switch got switched. And he began to become addicted to alcohol, and cocaine, and crack. For 5 years, Jim and his wife prayed for all the ways they wanted Jamie's life to be saved. They gave Jamie lots of advice about how it is his life could be turned around. Then one day, in his office, they were having a devotional. And he read this scripture. Pray to the breath to breathe from the four winds to breathe life into the slain. The truth struck him that all these years, I've been keeping God's Spirit away from Jamie, because I've been praying for God to change Jamie the way I want Jamie to be changed. So Jim and his wife began to pray Ezekiel's prayer, to leave it up to the Spirit. The Spirit to come and change his life. And the first change was not in Jamie. It was in Jim and his wife. They moved from lecturing, pushing, judging parents to loving, forgiving, compassionate, encouraging parents. They got out of the way, leaving room for the Holy Spirit to breathe Spirit into Jamie's life. Within 2 months, Jamie came home for the first time in 5 years. And while he was there, he began to cry. The first time they had ever seen Jamie cry. And the healing breath of God's Spirit not only changed their minds and words and actions and hearts, but changed Jamie's as well. As of December, Jamie was 3 years, 7 months clean. He's a musician, plays a guitar, and sings. And he's now leading worship groups for addicts. I know that there are lives and relationships, loved ones here, who need the Holy Spirit to move life into dead bones. So right now we're going to take time and we're going to pray. I ask you to pray in silence about what the Holy Spirit, to ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life, to come into their lives. Breathe new breath in our minds, our words, our actions, our hearts. Change us and our relationships. So let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Blow new life into my life, the life of someone, Lord, that I name now. Change the way that we think and treat each other, speak to each other. Change the desires of our heart to be yours, Lord. Hear us now, Lord, as we pray for your Holy Spirit to come. Loving God, you promise to answer our prayers with a powerful breath of life. You have heard the prayers of our hearts for the Holy Spirit to come alive in us. Change us, Lord. Lord, make your promise come true. For each of us who have prayed for the breath to come. Let it be so. Amen.